Welcome into another edition of the Dana and Victory podcast, only available on musketeerreport.com. We're in New York City. Rick and Dan, Xavier loses in the semifinals of the Big East tournament, 87-83. And it was, I don't think it was the same as the game at Seton Hall a few weeks ago, where Xavier really never gave themselves a chance. Through the first maybe 7 or so minutes of the first half, it was kind of back and forth. X traded some buckets. Trayvon made his first three early in the game. Xavier got up to like a 5-0 lead. So it was close for a little bit, but then they hit a big lull there about midway through the first half and dug themselves a hole that they just couldn't get out of. And I also think we need to talk about Seton Hall and how well they're playing right now, because with Kadeen Carrington shooting the ball the way he has over the last few games for them, they're just a very difficult team to guard, in addition to being a difficult matchup already for Xavier.
Yeah, I think Kadeem Carrington was the difference in this game. 8 of 11 from the field, 3 of 6 three-pointers, 4 of 6 from the line, total of 23 points. He also chipped in 7 rebounds, which was big. I believe 3 assists. So, you know, Carrington was huge for them. And Isaiah Whitehead maybe didn't fill up the stat sheet the way you would expect him to, or the way he has in the past, but he had some of the biggest shots of the game. I mean, he had 2 threes in the first half, both of them just kind of busting Xavier's zone, and then he had the biggest basket of the game when Xavier inched within 60-56 at around the 8-minute mark of the second half. He just absolutely blew the entire Xavier team's doors off. I think he took 4 of the 5 players on the floor, plus Jeremy Groh, plus Chris Mack, plus the Blue Blob, and just took them all directly downtown to the bucket and finish. So, you know, disappointing, I think, in a lot of ways. I don't know that – I'm not willing to say that Xavier really played that badly necessarily. I like, obviously people are going to say, well, they gave up 87 points. They didn't defend very well. I don't think they defended that badly. Seton Hall just made big-time shots and over made big-time shots, tough finishes, whereas Xavier – just as they did in the second game against Seton Hall, they really struggled to finish around the rim, especially in the first half. Second half, I thought James Farr got into a nice rhythm, but to a large extent, they were trading 2s for 3s a lot of the time, because Delgado would get an and one at the other end, or, you know, Xavier would pick up one of the 800 technical fouls it seemed like they had in the second half, and disappointing. But I don't want to, you know, we don't want to belabor the point too much. You know, sometimes you just run into a team that's just a terrible matchup for you, and in a lot of ways, Seton Hall is like the team that you would construct in like Madden or something like that to specifically beat the Xavier team. And I think you saw a lot of that today, just their size, their strength. It was a tough one for Xavier, but I mean, when you look at the stat sheet, you think about the fact that it was down to a 2-3 possession game for large sections of the second half, and you look at, they leave a dozen points at the foul line. They shoot 29 for 83 from the field, including 8 of 30 from 3. And you just wonder if one of those goes in at some point, whether or not they would have been able to climb that mountain. But
yeah, I think, you know, we're always going to look at the defense, but at this point of the season with this team, we know what their strengths and their weaknesses are. And we know when they run into teams that they don't match up well with defensively, they have to beat them by playing well on offense and scoring and moving the basketball and playing how they typically play. And tonight they weren't able to do that. And part of the thing people lose sight of is when you don't make shots, you don't get to set your defense. And when you don't get to set your defense multiple times in a row, it gets much more difficult to get stops. And so that all plays into it. So if you're looking for the difference between, you know, Xavier winning this game and Xavier not winning this game, or Xavier playing their typical strong game, or what they did in this one, it wasn't the defense that was different. It was the offense and their inability to consistently score, especially in the first half. They really struggled in the first half. Second half, they got it going a little bit better. But let's talk about the defense for a second, because something you brought up during the game that I thought was interesting. When we talk about why the Seton Hall team is a bad matchup for Xavier, they have athletic guards, for one, and athletic wings, which always gives Xavier trouble. They have good size, good big men that can compete with Xavier's big men. And also, you know, Delgado doesn't – he's kind of a problem for both James and Jalen to a certain extent on the defensive end. But the thing that really – that you pointed out to me early in the game, and it continued to be a theme throughout, that I think is more of a concern for Xavier, is the way they were able to carve Xavier's defense down in the paint with just interior passes across the blocks, some small high-low stuff from maybe like the second or third hash, just a little dump down over the top to Delgado and Rodriguez. Plays like that are ones where it doesn't seem like Xavier has given up a lot of that this year. So seeing that tonight, seeing it happen so consistently throughout the game, or at least it felt that way, I thought that was probably, coming away from the game, my biggest concern for Xavier.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the things that Seton Hall does so well is they get paint touches and then they develop. Like as you said, they go box to box. They really attack you horizontally more than vertically in a lot of ways. I mean, Whitehead obviously will take you on straight line drives, but for the most part, their offense seems built around swing the ball from side to side, whether it be inside the paint or around the perimeter. And, you know, they have this they turn the ball over a lot. There's no question about that. But a lot of the turnovers they make are due to those attempts to make interior passes and to develop plays and to get layups. So the other thing about them that I just am really impressed with is you mentioned Delgado, but they have depth in size too. And what that forces Xavier to do is and you saw it in the first half especially, is that Xavier is forced to play with two bigs on the floor at the same time, which is not something they do a lot of. And it's very clear that their offense is not in a position right now with two bigs on the floor where they're capable of repetition and scoring consistently. In the first half, it seemed like when they would have the two bigs on the floor, whether it was Jalen and James, whether it was Sean and Jalen, their spacing was off. They weren't moving the ball as quickly as they normally do. They didn't have the outside threats that they did. So, I mean, it was rough. The other thing was Miles Davis just really had one of the worst games he's played at Xavier. And I bet if he goes back to CYO ball, he didn't have too many games worse than that. Turned the ball over 7 times in the first half, 8 for the game. Didn't make a field goal until, you know, really Xavier was chasing the game with 2 or 3 minutes left. Just scuffling out there. And I think that kind of was the theme for a lot of the guys on the floor. After the previous night where they looked like some kind of mixture of the Harlem Globetrotters and the 86 Celtics, they come out tonight and playing a different team, not hitting jump shots quite at the rate they were last night. They look pretty ordinary. So I don't know that – I mean, do you think there's anything to be taken from this? Or I mean, is this showing the way for potential opponents in the NCAA tournament, or is this just a special situation because of the matchups?
I would go with the latter more so. At this point, I don't think we're learning anything new about the Xavier team. They are who they are, and I don't think that's a bad thing. I don't think this exposed that, oh, you know, Xavier's not legit, or, you know, they're a fake – They're overrated. I don't think that's the case with this team. I do think what we've known all along is that to beat teams that they don't match up with well on defense, they have to play well on offense and hit shots. And for the majority of the games this year, they've been able to do that at a high enough clip. And kudos to Seton Hall, because we've also got to remember that they're playing for not a tournament berth at this point, but they're trying to take themselves from, you know, a mid-level seed up to maybe a 5 seed or something if they win this tournament. I think they could really improve their seed in the NCAA tournament with a great showing in the Big East, and so far they've done that. And I think they're a dangerous tournament team because of the makeup we've talked about. They do have a pro in Isaiah Whitehead, and then they have multiple other guys who have really good futures in basketball and have a lot of upside too, and a veteran glue guy like Derek Gordon. There's a lot of pieces for the Seton Hall team to keep improving. Dan, just running over a few more things from Xavier's personnel tonight. Edmund Sumner, I liked that he was aggressive. He was aggressive throughout the entire game and ended up shooting 23 shots. I think that's a good thing for this team. I think it was good that he was attacking right out of the gate, but tonight he just couldn't finish. And when that happens, it certainly hurts this team because he's, you know, while he's made some great passes, he is not a high-level distributor. So it doesn't seem like a thing where he can kind of turn it off and say, well, I'm not finishing at the rim tonight. Maybe I need to try to find guys that are open out on the wings or something. He kind of seems to get a little one-track minded at times with his game. So when he's not finishing at the rim, and a lot of that is probably because of Seton Hall's athleticism and size, and also Xavier's spacing, like you mentioned, playing the two bigs, I think it definitely makes it difficult on the Xavier offense. Did you have any other thoughts on specific personnel guys, just looking at the box score? Was there anything that jumped out to you with specific players?
Well, One of the many reasons why this is such a difficult matchup is it really makes Remy Abel I mean, you could barely play him against Seton Hall, especially today when he didn't have his jump shot working, just 1 of 5 from the floor, and the one was actually a really nice finish in transition early in the game, but he's out there. He can't really guard Whitehead. Whitehead's a little bit too big for him. I feel like there's not really a good defensive matchup for him, and then obviously offensively, he, especially with two bigs on the floor, you can't really have Remy out there because you need three shooters, I feel like, if you're going to play with two bigs. So that was a situation where he was kind of taken out of the game. Kaiser was okay. Sean was okay. JP, got stuck in, played really hard. But again, another guy who just couldn't finish today to save his life. I mean, there was one tip at the very end of the game where the ball comes off the rim and it's hanging on the front rim, and JP goes up there to tip it in, and somehow it goes out, and it just seemed like that was kind of the story the whole game. So, rough night at the office, but I don't think people should wig out about this in any way. I mean, this was not Xavier getting shown up. I do think that there are some concerns with the defense. I think at this point, when you're giving up, when you're shipping well over 80 points a game for the better part of a month, you've got to concern yourself with that. But we look forward to Sunday. We'll see how things shake out. I think most observers would say that Xavier's still in very good position to be a 2 seed, but certainly with the win by West Virginia over Oklahoma today, that kind of complicates matters a little bit for Xavier, because it is, and with Oregon beating Arizona as well, they kind of lock themselves into that 2 seed zone, and even a Utah could hypothetically get into that mix if they can win this tournament by beating Cal and then Oregon. So it's going to be fascinating, but we shall see, I suppose. Indiana losing, I think, helps. I think Indiana was a team that maybe if they beat Michigan State in the Big Ten final, could have been potentially a 2 seed. I don't think they will be now. I think that maybe that's a little high, but certainly not now. And I will say this: today was one of those great college basketball days when you factor in the end of the Michigan and Indiana game, which was a fantastic finish, the ridiculousness in the Cincinnati-Connecticut game, the storied rivalry between UC and UConn, and then the first semifinal, Villanova Providence, was an outstanding game in the second half. So a great day, great day of college hoops. Tomorrow we'll have the final, Seton Hall and Villanova. We'll probably preview that, I'm sure, tomorrow, or we'll talk about it at some point. 5:30 tip. But yeah, it was a disappointing result. But keep in mind, Xavier 27-5, and they're gonna maybe have the highest seed in the history of the program. So I'm not too concerned about it.
Yeah, just like you said, I think we'll come back tomorrow. We will probably do some type of maybe more of a grab bag podcast. If you guys have some other topics around the world of college basketball or other things that you want us to touch on, we might have some guests on that podcast too. So feel free to throw us out some suggestions. We may do something a little more fun tomorrow with Xavier not being in the mix anymore. Just wrapping up some of these final stats here. Again, when you look at some of these stats, it's hard to see Xavier losing this game, except for when you look at 29 for 83 from the field and 8 of 30 from the three-point line. And also, even they struggled at the free throw line, going 17 of 27. But, I mean, rebounds. They had 28 offensive rebounds, outscored Seton Hall 21 to 11 in second chance points. X had 21, outscored Seton Hall 21 to 19 in points off turnovers, outscored them 34 to 32 points in the paint. Seton Hall did outscore Xavier 8 to 2 in fast break points, but Xavier outscored them 31 to 16 in bench points. And I just think when you look through a lot of those stats, and people were saying, that Xavier wasn't hustling, there wasn't a good enough effort, I think those stats kind of tell you that wasn't the case. Xavier gave the effort. They couldn't hit shots. They couldn't get stops against Whitehead when it mattered. And that was pretty much the story. So you've been listening to another edition of the Dana Victory Podcast, only available on musketeerreport.com. For Dan, I'm Rick. Thanks for listening, everyone.